Last Sunday, if you were not with us, just a quick overview, we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit, and today we're continuing with that, the theme generally of how the Spirit is at work in our lives, and today we're going to be talking about how the church is able by the Spirit's power to be pulled together in unity and serve Christ together as one body. But before we get into that important topic and this serious business of building the church that honors Jesus, it's also good to remember that churches don't always get everything right. And sometimes it's best to just laugh at the mistakes that we make together. So, for example, there's a growing list online of announcements from real church bulletins. My dad likes to send these to me, and so I thought I'd share a few with you today. These are bulletin announcements, not from our church, as far as I know, but things that weren't worded quite right, and I think you'll know what I mean as you follow along here on the screen. One of them read, "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and the community." So you can see how one little word kind of tripped them up there. There was another one that said, "For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs." I think the comma was in the wrong place. I always tell our kids, got to know how to use commas. "Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use large double door at the side entrance." No comment on that one. And then this one was similar, probably the same church. "Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet Thursday. Please use the back door." So you see that. And then one more here. "Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands." Don't get any ideas of a rummage sale around here. I don't know. So the church doesn't always get things right. And that's certainly true of our church as well, every church. But the reason the church doesn't always get things right is that we're full of people like us. Right? We're full of sinners and people who make mistakes and people who go the wrong way sometimes. The good news, though, is that Jesus sent us His Spirit to help the church along the way and to help us move in the right way, move in the right direction. One of the most important things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is to hold the church together in unity, to help us to walk on the same path of faith and worship and ministry. Instead of all going our own directions, the Spirit helps us as a church body to find one direction and to go the way that God wants us to go. So the scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul writing to a church that he helped to start, and now he's reminding them, he's encouraging them to remember how the Spirit works in the midst of their church. So Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does 'he ascended' mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Before Paul encouraged the church to seek after unity, he reminded them that he was a prisoner. Of course, this was a time when Paul had been arrested for his bold public witness for Christ. He was arrested originally in Jerusalem, and then he appealed his case as a Roman citizen to Caesar. And so over the course of a number of months, he eventually made his way, was transported to Rome, and there he lived out his life and was eventually put to death for his faith and for his testimony. But he reminds the Ephesians that he's a prisoner, and it's interesting that he does, given what he's about to write here, because you see, Paul was at this time cut off from the fellowship of the church. He was cut off from the body of believers. People would come to visit him. People would come to carry his letters off and get the word out from him there in Rome. But Paul himself was not able to worship with the church. He was not able to join with them day by day in ministry. And so he must have, as he wrote these words, been thinking back with longing of what it was like, what a blessing it was to be able to sit down across the table, to stand and worship together, to open up God's Word face to face with his brothers and sisters. And yet, at this point in his life, he was not able to do that. And so he encouraged the Ephesian church. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we think of the little things sometimes that divide people in the church, little comments made innocently that are taken the wrong way, or maybe disagreements that blow up into years-long disagreements and conflicts. And you think of all those little things, and then you remember that Paul there cut off not because of any disagreement within the church, but because of his witness for Christ. And now he's lost the fellowship of the church. And so he encourages them, make every effort to maintain unity in the church through the Spirit's work in your lives. Don't let your fellowship, don't let the friendships of the church suffer. Invite the Spirit to bind the church together in love and peace. This passage reminds us of what we share in common. It reminds us of why we come together as a church body. You see, the people in the church, and even you look around this room, and many of you have spent many, many years together in the church. And yet still, you look around this room and we all come from different places, different backgrounds. We share different interests, may have worked different jobs. We have different things that we do outside of our time in the church. We have different life stories. But when we come together in the church, the Holy Spirit binds us together in unity. And the glue that binds us together are those things that we share in common. And Paul lists them. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. Those are things that bind us together. Paul begins this passage with an urgent plea. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And those words speak individually to us. Each of us are to live out the calling that I have in my life, that you have in your life, but also together as we join, as this church, as this local congregation, God is calling us to ministries and to worship and to fellowship and to Bible studies and all the things that we do together. And Paul says to live a life worthy of that calling. to live a life that's worthy of the one who calls us, who of course is Jesus himself. To live a life worthy of the calling, which is not just all the things that we do as a church family, but the calling ultimately is to love and to follow Jesus together. And so how do we live that life that's worthy of the calling? Well, that's what this passage describes. And so the central teaching here in Ephesians chapter 4 is that the Spirit calls the church to unity in Jesus' name. We're called to unity through Jesus Christ. And as we begin to think about what that unity looks like or how we find that unity together, let me actually also say as an introduction here what unity in the church is not. Because I think we often confuse unity with some other things that maybe don't exist or don't need to exist within the church. So when we talk about unity in the church, that does not mean that we have to agree on everything. You don't have to stop sharing your opinion in the church. If somebody says something that you might think differently on, you don't have to be shy about saying, well, no, I have a different opinion on that. That's certainly true on small issues. It's even true that's the reason we read the Bible together. I may read a passage of Scripture and say, well, God seems to be saying this to me, and you might bring out a different interpretation, a different emphasis to that passage. And I might learn from you just as you might learn from me. And it's okay that we can share those different ideas together. We don't all have to think alike in the church. You can think for yourself, and yet we can still find unity through the Holy Spirit. Unity also does not mean that we all have to look and talk and act alike. We don't have to think alike. We also don't have to act like we all are alike. Again, we all come from different backgrounds. We have our own personalities, our own gifts and interests and skills, and what you bring to the church might be completely unique. There might be no one else here in the church who thinks the way you do or looks at the world the way you do or has the skills and interests that you bring into the church, but that's a good thing. That we all come with unique gifts and interests and skills. We can be unique, and yet we can then join together and find unity. You see, as we are united in the church, we come together over those things that we do share in common, which again begins with our faith in Jesus Christ. That is what unites us. That is what we all come into the church with in common. And so it's okay to have unique ideas. It's okay to have unique gifts. It's okay to stand out in the crowd within the church. We are united over those things that we all do share, which begins with our faith in Jesus Christ. So as we work through this passage, I hope that we'll discover together the ways that the Spirit binds us together in unity. And we begin with this. The Spirit moves us to love one another. To love one another. In verse 2, Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And this reminds us of the passage that we read last week as we started this just 2 weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. But in Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And how the Spirit transforms us from the inside first, and then that transformation reaches out and how we live our lives, how we treat other people. But the Spirit makes us to become more like Jesus. And so here Paul says, be humble, be gentle, be patient, bear with each other. These are words that call us to action. Loving one another in the church is not just about having a nice feeling about the people you're sitting around. Loving each other means that we actually live that love out, that we're patient with each other, that we're gentle even in our disagreements. We don't need to be angry with one another. To disagree doesn't mean that you feel hostility towards someone. It just means that you have a different opinion. And that's okay. I wish politics in our world today understood that difference. We can treat one another in gentle and patient and kind ways within the church. In verse 3, Paul begins, I read this a moment ago, make every effort. And that's a phrase that should clue us into the fact that this is not always easy. It takes effort to find unity. It takes effort to love people. It takes effort to be gentle and humble. It doesn't always come naturally to us. But it's worth the effort. It's worth the hard work to work at unity and love. Now, the truth is, and I'm not going to look at anyone in particular in the room here, but the truth is, some people are hard to love. Right? Maybe I'm hard to love sometimes. Maybe any of us can be. Even in the church, there are some people who, when you love them, they don't return the favor. It happens. Some people demand more than what seems reasonable of our attention, our energy, and time, and our love. That's how it is. Anytime you gather a group of people like this together, there are some people who you may not get along well with. But in the Spirit's power, and as a way to honor Jesus Christ, we make every effort. We work at treating one another with love. Now, I believe that Broadway is good at this. I believe that this particular local church has learned how to love each other well. Not perfectly, but I think we are good at loving each other. And I'm sure that there have been moments of tension, moments of hurt feelings. I'm sure anyone who's been here more than a few months can look back on difficult conversations or times when you didn't feel very loving towards someone across the pew, across the room from you. And hopefully you've worked that through and you've forgiven and you've healed those relationships. But I've witnessed, and it's been 5 years now I've been here at Broadway, I've witnessed how you care for each other. I've witnessed how you love each other and support each other and pray for one another. I've seen those good things in this church. And you see, that love that we share together as a church family goes far beyond church programs or events. We can put something on the calendar. We can plan an event. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to just show up and magically, naturally, somehow love one another and treat each other nice. It's the Spirit's work that has transformed us and has helped us to grow in love for each other. And that's a blessing that God has placed on this church, the genuine care and friendship that this body of believers has for one another. But unity is also about more than just getting along. If we're going to honor Jesus as a body of believers, we also have to be moving in the same direction. And so the Spirit also empowers us to fulfill Jesus' mission. The Spirit enables us and gives us strength to do those things that Jesus has asked us to do because we are His church. You see, there are lots of organizations or companies or schools or whatever it is, non-church groups out there in the world. There are lots of organizations that are filled with people who treat each other nicely. There are even organizations filled with people who love each other. That's something, again, you can work at and you can get pretty good at, and you can set up rules within an organization that say when we get together, we say nice things to each other and follow the rules and everybody will get along. And there are organizations that are lovely places to be. But the Spirit enables the church, because we are the church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit enables us to be something special and to do something special. We've been given a mission that is different and I would say is more important than anything that any other organization or company or civic group, any other gathering of people anywhere in the world. The church does something that is more important, and that thing that we do is the mission that Jesus gave us: to love people in His name and to tell people His story, so that we can invite people to join us in following Jesus as the Savior. That is the most important mission in the world. And it's the mission that we share together as the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul talks about verses 7 through 10 are a little confusing, and I want to share just quickly how to understand this. He talks about Jesus having descended to the earth and then ascended to heaven, and what he's getting at here is that Jesus came and lived on the earth for a few years, 30-some years. He taught, he gathered disciples, he healed people, he fed the 5,000, all those things we read in the gospel stories. And then Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and he ascended back into heaven. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he had promised his disciples, "After I leave you, I'm going to send back to you my Holy Spirit." And when the Spirit came back in fulfillment of that promise, the Spirit gave to the church special gifts, special abilities. We call these in New Testament language spiritual gifts. Gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. And I think of the spiritual gifts as what the Spirit enables us to do that we couldn't do on our own. Now, you may have other abilities in your life. Maybe you went to school and you learned how to be a plumber, or you went to school and you learned how to be an accountant, or maybe you're naturally a good musician, or whatever it is. Those are natural abilities and education. But the Spirit enables us to do things that we couldn't do on our own. Things in that sense that are supernatural, that are beyond human ability. And some of those things you might look at in your own life and think, well, what is it that the Spirit enables me to do that's so special or unique? And it might be something relatively small. It might be that you're really good at loving people, that you're really good at sensing the needs of the people around you and having compassion on them and praying for them and reaching out to love them. It might be that the Spirit works in your life so that you're able to teach or to minister to young people or to minister to those who aren't feeling well. It might be that your spiritual gift is used in the administration of the church. Maybe you're an accountant by trade, but you also can use that to serve the church, and the Spirit enables you in ways that I certainly couldn't serve in that way. I certainly couldn't stand in front of you and sing the way other people do. But we all have these gifts that God has given us, that the Spirit enables us to serve in special and unique ways. Now, some of us, and Paul mentions here apostles, prophets, evangelists, and you think, well, I'm not any of those. Pastors, teachers, and you think, well, I don't have those gifts. Only certain people have those gifts. And you don't read a list like that and say, well, those are the only people with spiritual gifts, because throughout the New Testament, there are other gifts that are detailed and listed out for you. And so you have to read through other passages of Scripture and in 2 Corinthians and other places and find out there are other gifts. And there's a long list, and you read through through the New Testament, and you find there are lots and lots of ways that the Spirit enables us. But Paul here lists those who are leaders in the church, and that's important for the church to have those who are given gifts to lead and to teach and to administer. And those are important, but then others are gifted in other also very important ways. And the critical part is this in verse 7. In verse 7 it says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." And there are two critical things in that verse that we need to read. Each one of us has been given gifts. And they've been given to us as Christ apportioned it. In other words, it was Jesus' decision what gift you have in your life. It was Jesus' decision as he sent the Spirit to move and to work in you how you would serve the church. That was Jesus' choice as he looked at your life and your calling and your place in the church and your place in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, this one is going to be gifted in this way. And each one of us has been gifted in those particular special ways. So then we get down to verse 12 and we read, well, what is the purpose of all these gifts? Why has the Spirit worked in this way in our lives? And verse 12 gives us the answer, to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We've each been given gifts by the Spirit so that the body together can be built up, so that we can together serve that mission that Jesus has given us. You see, as we come together as a unified body, each of our gifts fit together like puzzle pieces. And as each of those pieces fit together, that puzzle forms one beautiful, united picture. And the picture that we form together is the mission of Jesus Christ. That picture looks like how we love people and how we tell the story of Jesus. That picture looks like the church reaching out into our neighborhood and into our community. That picture looks like the church supporting missionaries like the Duttons who are serving far away in Asia. And we can't be with them or see them day by day, but we know that what we do here enables what they do there. And as those puzzle pieces, each one of our lives and our gifts come together and we form that picture, it looks like our worship that we share together. It looks like Bible studies that we share together. It looks like moments of fellowship and all the various things that we do in the church. It looks like the fulfillment of the mission that Jesus gave us. And that is why God calls us together, and that's why Jesus sent His Spirit to enable us, to empower us, to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to us. Now, we know it doesn't always work exactly that way in the church. We don't always form that beautiful picture. Sometimes we seek after our own agendas. Sometimes people in the church may wander away for a season or maybe longer. Sadly, when the picture of that mission isn't complete, when there are pieces that are missing, the whole church suffers. And the mission can't be fulfilled as completely and as fully as we'd like it to be. And so the mission that Jesus gave us also suffers. Let me be even more candid about this. God does not honor disunity and factions and selfishness within the church. And any one of us or any group of us or all of us at times contribute in those ways to actions and attitudes and words and those things that God does not honor. You see, a church that does not pull together in unity is a church that is lacking in the power that the Spirit wants to give us. And we certainly can't fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us in our own power without the Spirit working in our lives. And so to the degree that we are acting in ways that God does not honor, to that same degree the Spirit is not going to be powerfully working in our lives, and also to that degree the mission of Jesus is going to go unfulfilled. And so these are serious issues. Now, to turn this around to the positive side, when we each listen and follow the Spirit, when we remember that relationships matter, when we remember that unity in the church matters more than getting my own way, when we remember that Jesus, the mission that Jesus gave us, then we will see that fulfillment of the great mission. And Paul says it this way in verse 13, we will all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we will become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that brings us to the results of all of this. What is it like when we get it right in the church? What is it like when we do come together in love and unity as a church body? Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. And this beautiful picture of a unified church fulfilling the mission will be what it looks like as we look around the church. We see that unity. We see people joining together, working together to fulfill the mission. We will see what the church is supposed to be. Verse 16, from Him, that is from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that is each one of us joined together, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That is what it's supposed to look like. Now let me make one final point here. And that is that your relationship with Jesus, how you follow after Him, as you walk in your faith, your relationship with Jesus is not just about you. We talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's important. That's the beginning of faith, that I've made a decision to follow Jesus, and you make that decision, and each one of us comes to faith in that way, in a special way in our own hearts. But then, following after Jesus, seeking after Him, seeking after Jesus is incomplete if we do it alone. It's incomplete until we join together with other brothers and sisters in faith. It's incomplete until we find one another in the church body. It's incomplete until we can walk alongside one another in the church as we share ministry and faith and life together. So there's a final lesson for us, and that is that the Spirit helps us to grow in faith together. The Spirit draws us together and helps us to grow in following Jesus and in our faith together. And as I look out at this church body, as I see the things that we do as a church family, I see the beautiful things that happen within our fellowship. I see people praying for one another. I see people sharing meals together. I see people speaking encouraging words and visiting during moments of difficulty. I see people walking alongside in the good moments of life, celebrating together, enjoying life together, and I see people coming alongside those who are struggling, lifting one another up. And so today, the hope and the prayer for our church is that the Spirit will continue to bless us as we join together to love each other and to serve the mission that Jesus has given us and to grow together in our faith. So let's ask God to work in those ways in our hearts today. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit sent to us by Jesus to fulfill that promise to come and live in our hearts and to enable us to give us gifts, to help us to love, to help us to serve Your mission. Lord, forgive us for those times when we go our own way and instead of following Your Spirit, we choose to move ahead in our own ideas or our own strength. Lord, teach us to come together in unity. Teach us to love well. Teach us to see how Your Spirit is moving in one common direction in fulfillment of Your mission. And we pray You would bless our church. We pray that You would build us up as a family of believers. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your love in our lives, and we pray that You would help us to walk always together and in Your power, in the power of Your Spirit, and in the name of Jesus. As we ask this in His name, amen.